You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A happy Thursday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. We got a stack show for you guys over the next 30 minutes. We're going to talk a little playoff NBA basketball. We got the first round of the RBC Heritage underway. We're going to dive into that, look at some two-ball matchups, getting ready to tee off over the next hour. We're going to talk some NFL draft today. I'm going to give out my top 10 picks in the NFL draft. We'll talk about if there's any value on the board. Kate Constable will join me on later on in the show for model making money, and then we'll wrap everything up with our best bets for today during PJ's plays. As always, if you guys have any comments, questions, best bets throughout the show, you can send them to us, twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube/Odyssey Sports, or you can go to Twitter and Instagram at the BetQL app. And of course, if you miss anything over the next 30 minutes, you can go check out the Send It In podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And there's going to be a lot of good stuff on the show today. As kicking it off, glasses in session, we go to the Glasser guest line. Trista Crick, host of the BetMGM Tonight and host of the NBA podcast Heat Check with Trista Crick, joins me right here to talk some NBA playoffs. T, great having you on the show. We got two play-in games for tomorrow. We got the Pelicans and the Kings. We also have the Heat taking on the Bulls. We got injury news in both. I want to start with that Heat-Bulls game because we got the news this morning that Jimmy Butler is going to be out for a couple weeks. That's obviously a big loss. Miami's only a 1.5-point favorite against the Bulls tomorrow. So what are your thoughts on this game without Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, you know, also no Alex Caruso, Peach, which is huge. Yeah. He has a severe ankle sprain. Maybe he tries to give it a go. I mean, he is a warrior that way, but you're talking about two of the best defenders on the floor that are going to be either not there or one of them is going to be significantly limited. So I know that unders are hitting like crazy in these play-in tournaments, but I don't see that with this game at all, really. You're talking about the Heat are going to have to put up a ton of points. Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, most likely those two. And then I think also Jaime Jaquez also has a great matchup. So I actually like the over in this game, 208.5. Again, I think Bam has to have a huge game against Vooch. He's not a good defender. Without Jimmy, Bam Adebayo averaging 22 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 assists this season. He's gone over his player prop, which is 21.5. 4 of 6 times against Chicago. I like this matchup for him, especially because he's going to have to shoulder the scoring load. Also, Jaime Jaquez, I love in this matchup. His number is 14.5. And like the thing that people don't really know about Jaime Jaquez, if you're not a Heat fan or you're not watching Heat games a lot, is that he likes to try to fill the role of Jimmy Butler. They kind of have two similar games. So without Jimmy, I think Jaime has a really good matchup as well. Mid-range shots, he playmakes for others, he's physical on both sides of the floor. The number's 14.5, and he put up 3 of 4 he's hit that bet against Chicago. I think he puts up 20 in that game, so over 208.5, over 14.5 for Jaime Jaquez, and over 21.5 for Bam.
All right, I like it, T. So the winner of that game gets the Celtics in the 1-8 matchup, and then the winner of the Western Conference play-in between the Pelicans and the Kings gets the Thunder. Who do you think that team is going to be? Zion Williamson going to be out tomorrow for the Pelicans. They're 1.5-point dogs at home.
It's crazy that the Kings lost 5 times to the Pelicans, and they're still favored. And you might say, okay, well, Trista, there is no Zion. Hamstring injury. What do you think about that? But the last time they played against the Pelicans with no Zion, they got smacked around by 20-something points. And you know I love my Kings. So I'm coming at this from a very unbiased place, Peach. The thing that the Kings do so poorly is three-point defense. I think that's what has made these last 5 matchups so shocking and so high-scoring, despite the fact that the Kings have been an under machine over the last, like, third of the season. I hope I'm wrong. I think they're going to try to change some things up, but every single time these two teams have played, we've had at least one team score in the 120s every single time, and sometimes both teams. So I really like the over, 212.5. Also, I like Jose Alvarado in this matchup. I think he has the hot hand. You're seeing Willie Green trust him a little more. He played really well in the game against the Lakers. He put up 14, 9, and 10 in his last 3 games against the Kings, and his number's only 7.5, so I like that. But overall, my favorite play is the over 212.5. feels like this at least is a 110-108 game.
Talking with Trista Crick here on Send It In. All right, T, so those are the two playing games we have tomorrow. Let's look at the games that we have, the series that are already set for Saturday and Sunday. Of all the series that we have right now, what is the one that you are most looking forward to?
Oh, that's easy, Peach. It's Knicks-Sixers. I mean, that's just what it is. Whoever wins this series has the easiest path to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I think it's going to be one of those scenarios where it's like a Spider-Man meme stylistically. Two teams that have great coaching, gritty coaching. In-game adjustments are really good. Game-to-game adjustments are really good. You've got stars all over the place with Maxi, Embiid, Brunson, OG Anunoby, Dante DiVincenzo chucking, Josh Hart chucking. The center matchup's fascinating to me. This is going to be awesome, and both teams have great home court advantages, and that is why, sorry to take the wind out of your sails, I think this is also the game that goes the distance.
Oh, nice. Seven games. Who do you think wins it? Because even though Philadelphia is the seventh seed, they are the favorites in the series. So who wins it?
It feels like Sixers, but I can see it going either way. What we saw from Nick Nurse last night showcases why he's such a good coach. He was going, getting blitzed. The Miami Heat looked like they were going to run away with it. They were playing zone on him. He all of a sudden puts Nick Batum in. Nick Batum has six threes, and all of a sudden they shift the tide. It felt like the whole game they were going to lose that one and have to play the Celtics in the first round, and here they are playing the Knicks. So, man, it's going to be tight. I don't know. I really don't know. But if I had to say, I'd give it to the Sixers because I think Spike Eskin is right. This is the Sixers' year.
Certainly could be. Again, even though they're a 7 seed in that series against the Knicks, they are favored to win it, which does not happen often. Any other series, Trista, that you look at in the first round that you think one of the teams could pull off and upset a team that has plus money to win the series, whether it's the Clippers, whether it's the T-Wolves, whether it's the Magic, any of those teams that you like?
Yeah, I know they're just slight underdogs. And listen, like, depending on the book that you're looking at, it's a lot closer, but in your mind, when you look at these two teams, I think the Pacers are still an underdog, and I think they're the underdog to watch. I think they actually beat the Bucks. It's going to be delicious for the news, for the storylines, if they do it. Giannis, obviously, is not going to be in this series for the first couple of games, at least, with that calf strain. That's terrible. You know, this Pacers team already beat the Bucks 4 out of 5 times, and that was before they acquired Pascal Siakam. So I don't know what the Bucks are going to do with no Giannis against a Pascal and a Tyrese Halliburton that's elite, not only getting guys involved, but also scoring himself. Without Buddy Hield and Ben Mather, I'm a little bit concerned. But honestly, this is a matchup that has upset watch all over it. I would not be shocked if the Pacers beat them in 6.
I mean, I could certainly see. It's going to be interesting to see when Giannis comes back, if he does come back at all, in that series. Trista, last question for me. A lot of people feel like we're on a Nuggets-Celtics collision course. Boston is as heavy a favorite to make it to the NBA Finals as I've seen in quite some time. The Nuggets are the defending champs. They're healthy. Jokic looks as good as ever. Murray looks great. Which team would you be more confident in to get to the Finals, Boston or Denver?
Oh, that's very easy for me, Peach. Like, I trust Denver. I trust Denver with my own life, with my beating heart. I would be willing, Peach, for you to stab me right there on BetMGM tonight if the Nuggets don't go to the West, to the Finals. Honestly, the Celtics we just cannot trust because they're a team that looks great on paper, and then when crunch time comes, they're kind of front runners and they fold under the pressure. Denver seems to get better the more that the spotlight gets bright, more that the pressure mounts. Obviously, Jokic is on another level. That two-man game with Jamal Murray, all of the role players. I think Peyton Watson steps up huge. So, yeah, I don't think it's a cakewalk for Denver, but it's as much of a lock for Denver to go to the Finals as any team that I can remember in recent memory. Maybe UConn.
Love it. Nobody better to talk NBA playoffs with than Trista Crick. She's host of BetMGM Tonight. You can catch her 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time coming up tonight, Monday through Fridays, with Ryan Horvath and Nick Ashew, also the host of the NBA podcast Heat Check with Trista Crick. TK, always good seeing you. I'll see you later on tonight.
See you later on, buddy.
Sounds good. All right, let's keep it moving now as we're going to continue the playoff basketball conversation with a little playoff page. Look at the two play-in games for tomorrow. We got the Bulls and the Heat and the Kings and the Pelicans, as we were breaking down with Trista. So Miami without Jimmy Butler, they're going to be a 1.5-point favorite in this game. The total is going to be 208.5. Now, you guys, if you listen to the show, you know I like my correlated spreads with my totals. And just like looking at the way that that Heat-Sixers game was playing, and then looking at the way that the Bulls-Hawks game was playing, I think if you like Chicago, you take the over, 208.5 in this game. If you like Miami, I think you take the under, 208.5 against Philadelphia. This total is essentially the same total that the Sixers and Heat game was played at. Bulls and Heat was played all the way up at 223.5. So the fact that this game is a lower total without Jimmy Butler, Miami's at home, I'm just relying on Spoelstra and that Heat culture that we talk about so much, even without their leader, to find a way to get the job done. So I like Miami on the money line. I also like the under in the game as well. As for Kings Pelicans, this game's going to be really interesting, right? Zion Williamson was fantastic in that game against the Lakers. He dropped 40 points. I was pretty underwhelmed with the Pelicans, though. It just felt like kind of their offensive game plan against the Lakers was just kind of one-on-one basketball. It was give the ball to Brandon Ingram, give the ball to Zion, get out of their way, or maybe in transition, look for a Trey Murphy three, look for a CJ McCollum three. Now, Zion's obviously their best player, and I'm not saying that New Orleans is a better team without him, but I think that they're going to play more team basketball without Zion on the floor, because even though Brandon Ingram's a great individual scorer, he's not 100% healthy, and I think more guys will step up. The fact that the Pelicans are at home, you got to like that. Role players tend to play better. I think you combine the Zion injury with how dominant the Kings looked against the Warriors. I think a lot of people are going to be on Sacramento in this game, but it's just highlighted, the Pelicans are a perfect 4-0 against the Kings so far this season. So it's a great matchup for New Orleans. I think they win this game again tomorrow, so I like the Pelicans plus 105. And then two guys I would look at without Zion, CJ McCollum, his point total is sitting at 23.5. And I think Trey Murphy is going to really need to step up for the Pelicans in this game. They need his three-point shooting. So Trey Murphy, 16.5. I think if you like the Pelicans, those are two guys that I would look at in that game against the Kings. All right, let's keep it moving now. Talk about some two balls going on today at the RBC Heritage. It's time for a little golfing with Glasser. And we got Denny McCarthy at minus 125 going up against Sepp Straka at plus 100. Denny is favored, and I think he's favored for good reason. When I was filling out my card, I was pretty close at taking Denny McCarthy to win the event, take him top 20, take him top 10. JT Poston, you look at the leaderboard right now, he's leading the way. JT Poston is a very comparable player to Denny McCarthy. They're two of the best putters on tour, pretty solid iron players, a little wayward off the tee at times. And this is a course where it's important to be accurate off the tee because there are some tough shots that you have to navigate, especially if it starts blowing with wind right there off of the ocean. So Denny McCarthy was a guy I had my eye on. I think this is a nice way to bet him this week, take him in a matchup against Sepp Straka. So I like Denny minus 125. I also like Taylor Moore at minus 145 in his two ball going up against Justin Rose. Taylor Moore has been playing really good golf this season. He hasn't missed a cut yet this year, and is in his last three starts, he has finished in the top 20, including a top 20 at the Masters in those tough conditions. So Taylor Moore has very quietly played some really good golf this season. I think a lot of people are going to look through some two-ball matchups. They're going to see the name Justin Rose, obviously a major champion, guy who's been on the tour for a while. They're going to see that plus money next to Justin Rose's name, and they're just going to take it. But Taylor Moore is playing some pretty good golf this year. I'd lay the juice with him against Rosie. Then we got Brian Harman going up against Sung Jae Im. Brian Harman was on my card this week as a top 20 going up against Sung Jae, who is plus 115. Now, Sung Jae has been kind of inconsistent this year. He's always been an iron man throughout his career. He plays as much as any golfer does on the PGA Tour, but he has struggled as of late. This is a course that when he is right, he tends to play very well at. Just doesn't feel like Sung Jae's clicking right now. Brian Harman, I'll take him minus 145. Then we have the defending champion teeing off at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Matt Fitzpatrick, going up against Nick Taylor. I like Matty Fitz in this two ball. He's the defending champ, as I mentioned. And Matt Fitzpatrick is one of those golfers that he tends to play the same courses year after year. Very good, right? Whatever the event may be, if he's got a good course history there, he tends to play there well year after year. His only major championship, Matt Fitzpatrick, is in Brookline, just outside of Boston, Massachusetts. He won the U.S. Am there, and then he won the U.S. Open there. Courses that fit his game where he's comfortable, he tends to play there well all the time. So I'll take Matty Fitz against Nick Taylor, who's also been struggling here over the last month. Then we got a really good two ball between Ludvig Aubert and Rory McIlroy, minus 110. It's a pick'em between these two guys. I think this course more so suits Ludvig's game a lot better. Rory, it's tough to really overpower this golf course. There are three par fives that are all reachable for Rory if he puts the ball in the fairway. But it's much more important to have a good iron game this week and to have good scrambling, be a good putter. Ludvig is just so smooth, and I think he's going to carry that momentum from the Masters. People who are just casual sports fans that don't follow the game of golf closely got their introduction into Ludvig, and I think he keeps it rolling this week. So I like him in the two ball against Rory. I also like Colin Morikawa, plus 105 against Xander Schauffele. Morikawa's been really struggling this season. We took a stab at him at Augusta because I thought 50-1 was just a crazy price. One of the best iron players in the world when he is on. He proved that at the Masters. He played really well for like 3.5 rounds until it all fell apart when he made that double bogey on 9. Xander is steady Eddie, and Xander's playing great golf too. But for Colin Morikawa, I think flipped the page a little bit at the Masters last week, getting a plus 105 on him. I'll take him in his two ball against Xander. Then we got Webb Simpson going up against Gary Woodland. This one is probably my favorite. I'll take Webb at minus 145. Webb was one of the top players in the world maybe like 5-6 years ago. Certainly is starting to deteriorate a little bit, but he's still a great iron player. And there are a couple courses each and every year that he always plays well. You got the Wyndham Championship when that goes to his hometown in Greensboro, North Carolina. And then you got this one, the RBC. Webb year after year always plays very well. Gary Woodland's still working his way back from injury. So I'll take Webb minus 145 in the first round against Gary Woodland. All right, it's time to move on. A little gridiron glass. Excited for this segment as we look at what I project will be the top 10 in the NFL draft. We'll start with the number one pick, the Chicago Bears. I mean, this is the easiest pick that you could make. Caleb Williams is going to the Chicago Bears. Maybe there was a little bit of a hesitation at the beginning of this draft process, but now that they've traded away Fields, it's a slam dunk. Caleb Williams is going to Chicago. I think Jaden Daniels, is going to go to the Commanders as well. This one I was a little more hesitant on probably like 2-3 weeks ago. I thought last year's draft, right, during the college football season, it was Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, and that's all we heard. Who was going to be the number one? Who was going to be the number two? And then draft season starts rolling around, and you hear about the Anthony Richardsons, you hear about the Will Levises, and all these guys start to gain smoke. This college football season, it was all Caleb Williams and Drake May. Those were going to be the two guys. Those were going to be one and two. And then Jaden Daniels wins the Heisman, has an unbelievable year. But there's a lot more smoke to the Jaden Daniels. The odds have been way more drastic than they were with any of the quarterbacks outside of Stroud last year. So I do think Daniels is going to go number two to Washington. Number three to New England is where it gets really, really fascinating. Marvin Harrison right now on BetMGM is 22-1 to be the number three overall pick. And that is where I would look at. I'm not convinced that New England is going to take a quarterback. We know that in the NFL, in this league, you can't win a Super Bowl if you don't have a good quarterback. The problem is New England doesn't have very much good of anything. The defensively, they're not even that great. They just had Belichick coaching them. So now that he's gone, we'll see how they look. Offensively, it's an absolute nightmare. They have no wide receivers that you can count on long-term. Offensive line isn't very good. Obviously, they need a quarterback. So if you're New England, do you take the best player in the draft? Do you take the guy who's probably the most sure thing in Marvin Harrison Jr.? Or do you take a quarterback with a lot of upside who could be a franchise guy, who could be really good? I think you go with Marvin Harrison Jr. I like the price at 22-1. I think that's what New England ends up doing at number three. Then at number four, I think we get a trade. I think the Giants trade from number six and swap picks with Arizona at number four. And I think the Giants take Drake May. I think that's who the Giants want. And once New England passes on Drake May, the Giants swoop up and they get their guy. Daniel Jones, I'm not really sure the Giants were ever really sold on Daniel Jones, but he had one good year with Brian Daboll. They made the playoffs. We know it's tough to not have a quarterback in this league, so the Giants felt like they had to pay Danny Dimes, but he's just not the guy long term. And Drake May with Brian Daboll, I think, could be a pretty good pairing, so I think that's what the Giants end up doing at number four. Number five, this is probably my favorite bet, plus 375 for Joe Alt to be the number five overall pick for the Chargers, and I absolutely love it. Everybody thinks the Chargers are going wide receiver. They got rid of Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, they trade away to the Bears. They have no weapons, and they paid Justin Herbert all that money. But look at what the Chargers have done this offseason. Obviously get Jim Harbaugh, but they hire Greg Roman as their offensive coordinator, who's a running guy. They got both Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins yesterday from the Ravens to go be their two running backs. Look at how Jim Harbaugh has built his teams, whether it's been at Stanford, whether it's been in Michigan, whether it's been with the 49ers. They're all physical, and he always builds his teams up front. You have a chance to get the best tackle in the draft in Joe Alt and pair him with Rashawn Slater, protect Justin Herbert, run the football. I think that's what the Chargers end up doing. I like Joe Alt going number five. Then the Cardinals, after they trade with the Giants, they end up getting their wide receiver. I think they get Rome Odunze out of Washington with the number six pick. I think the Titans, who are hoping that Joe Alt falls to them at number seven, are going to get the next best tackle in the draft in Troy Fatanu out of Washington. I think the Falcons are going to go with Alabama defensive end Dallas Turner, who in my mind is the best defensive player in the draft. Raheem Morris, their new head coach, is a defensive guy. You address the quarterback position, you hope, getting Kirk Cousins to go along with London and Pitts and Bijan. Now you go address the defense. I think they get Dallas Turner at number eight. And then number nine and number 10, I think this is where I'm going to differ from a lot of people. I think a lot of people think the Bears, with that second top 10 pick, are going to get a receiver. I actually think they're going to get Brock Bowers, the tight end, out of Georgia. You have DJ Moore. You have Keenan Allen. You're going to pick Caleb Williams at number one. What's the best friend to a young quarterback? A tight end. A great target over the middle of the field. Brock Bowers is as good of a tight end as I've seen come out in college in a long time. I think that is the pick for Chicago. I know Malik Nabers is really, really good. I know Rome Odunze is really good if they get him. But you got two really good receivers. You need a guy over the middle of the field. I think the Bears go with Brock Bowers. And then I think the Jets are going to make a trade with the Denver Broncos because Bowers is the guy that they want. Once he leaves, I think Denver swaps picks with the Jets because Minnesota, who needs a quarterback, is sitting there at 11. Denver and Sean Payton jump over them one spot, and they take J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan. So that is my top 10. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison, top three. Drake May to the Giants at four, trading with Arizona. Joe Alt to the Chargers at five. Rome Odunze, six to the Cardinals. Troy Fatanu to the Titans at seven. Dallas Turner to the Falcons at eight. Brock Bowers to the Bears at nine. And then the Broncos trading up to get J.J. McCarthy with the 10th pick with the Jets. Let's go to Model Making Money. Check in now with Kate Constable here on Send It In. Kate, great to see you. I know you're at the Bulls game last night. What a nice performance that was for Chicago. We'll get into their game against the Heat here in a little bit, but what are the five-star plays that BetQL has for us today?
Hey, PJ. Yes, very fun game last night. We'll also have a fun game on the ice tonight. Oilers, Orioles are on the diamond tonight, and Avs. So Model likes the Oilers, Edmonton, plus 165, the underdog in this game against the Avs. Both these teams already have a playoff spot locked up, so really not playing for much. Oilers did beat the Avs last time they played. So, I mean, could get it done again. The series has kind of gone back and forth. It's been close. Each team has one win over the other, but the Model likes the Oilers as a five-star play for today.
Very nice. Yeah, finally, final day of the NHL regular season. The Model going with the Oilers tonight. Kate, what about you? I know we have a limited baseball slate. We obviously got two NBA games tomorrow. What are you on today for your best bets?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a baseball bet today. I'm going to go with Diamondbacks first baseman Christian Walker over 1.5 total bases. He's facing Logan Webb, who's on the mound for the Giants today. Has had some success, Walker, against Webb. Hitting .353 against him, has a .947 OPS. Walker also has two doubles against Webb. A lot of hitting success at Oracle Park. So I'm going to take Christian Walker over 1.5 total bases this afternoon.
All right, very nice. Kate, let's talk some play-in basketball. I mentioned you were at the Bulls game last night. Really good performance from them, especially offensively. And now they catch a little bit of a break because Miami is going to be without their leader, Jimmy Butler. They play the Heat. They're only 1.5-point favorites. Do you like the Bulls in that game tomorrow against Miami? And are you doing anything with the total at 208.5?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I mean, in any playoff atmosphere, playoff type game, I would always lean towards the Heat over the Bulls. But without Jimmy Butler, without Terry Rozier, possibly without Duncan Robinson, I think the Heat's scoring could be a little pedestrian in this matchup. I'm going to wait and see what the status of Alex Caruso is. If he is out for the Bulls, I'm probably going to play the Heat in this one. If he does play, I think I would lean towards the Bulls just because his defense is so coveted. And I mean, he kind of changes the play style for Chicago a little bit on that end of the floor. Again, I mean, I don't really want to fade Eric Spoelstra in a situation like this. The whole Heat culture comes into play, but the injuries make this one really hard to figure out. I kind of lean towards the over on the total. Kobe White's not going to have 42 points again. I would be shocked if he does. I would love it if he did. That's probably not going to happen, but I still think there's enough scoring on this Bulls team to make this a little bit faster paced game and go over this total here. So still like not totally confident in either of those plays based on the injuries, but Alex Caruso, if he plays, I'm leaning towards the Bulls. If not, I think I will be taking the Heat.
All right, so monitor the injury report there. Going to be some big news if Caruso does or does not play. Kate, in the Pelicans and Kings game, we know that Zion Williamson is definitely going to be out for New Orleans. Is there 1.5-point dogs at home? Who do you like in this game? Who do you think the Thunder are going to get in the first round? Do you think it's going to be the Pels or the Kings?
So I'm going to just play a total in this game because I don't know, right? The Pelicans have dominated the Kings this season 5-0. Like, they've beaten the Kings 5 times this season, which, I mean, usually you only play a team 4 times with the in-season tournament. 5 times. It's hard to go 6-0 against one team, but again, that's what we said when they were 4-0 against them. It's hard to go 5-0. So I don't really know there. No Malik Monk, no Kevin Herter for the Kings. Obviously no Zion for the Pelicans. So again, injuries kind of dictating this a little bit. I lean towards the Kings without Zion, but I like the over in the first quarter in this game. Both of these teams start really fast. In 5 meetings, they're averaging just under 61 points per game in the opening frame. This number is at 54.5, so we're getting a nice little buffer there. And in the first playing game that these two teams had, Pelicans scored 34 in the first quarter against the Lakers. They tried to push the pace. Kings scored 31 against the Warriors. They also tried to push the pace. So I'm going to go over in the first quarter, PJ, over 54.5. If you made me pick a winner in this one, I think I'm going to lean towards the Kings in here, but not an official bet for me.
All right, fair enough. Can't wait to see how it all plays out. Kate, great stuff as always. Good luck on the bets tomorrow, and we'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, PJ.
For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. Time to wrap up the show now with PJ's plays here on Send It In as we're looking at our play for going streaking. And we're going to take Lamont Wade today against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Wade is batting .378 this season so far for the Giants, and he's 2-for-6 in his career against Ryan Nelson. Lamont Wade, our play in going streaking, trying to make it 3 in a row. Joe Alt, like I said, absolutely love that pick to the Chargers. Number 5 overall, he is going to be my prop lock at +375. My dog of the day, I'm going to look ahead to Saturday's NBA playoff action. I'm going to take Orlando +4.5 against Cleveland. We saw the Cavs last year lose to the Knicks in the first round, in the first game in Cleveland. Game kind of gives me similar vibes. I'll take the Magic +4.5. Shawnee Sharp's going Michael Bush of the Cubs over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. Gone over this in 5 of his last 6 games. He has been on fire. I'm going to stay in the same game with my best bet. I'm going to take Cubs Marlins under 7.5 today. Cubs not having a day off after their West Coast road trip. Played in Arizona. Fly back to Wrigley. Got to play the Marlins. Quick turnaround. Marlins offense has been struggling as of late. They're playing everybody close. Think it's going to be a low scoring game tonight. I'll take the under 7.5. To recap our best bets for today, Lamont Wade is going to be my pick in going streaking. Joe Alt plus 375 is going to be my prop lock to be the number 5 overall pick. Dog of the day, the Magic, plus 4.5 against the Cavs on Sunday in game 1 of that series. And my best bet, Marlins Cubs under 7.5. Thanks again to Trista Crick and Kate Constable for joining us here today on Send It In. If you missed any of the show, you can go catch it all on the Send It In podcast. Listen, rate, subscribe, review. Wherever you get your podcast, make sure you check it out. We will see you guys tomorrow for 1 p.m. Eastern time right here for some more Send It In on a fantastic Friday.